Apologies to Grandpa Phillipson. Cappadocia is a little bit of a tough name to get out. You know, I hadn't even thought of you when you were reading that, and I should have said, just start at verse 3 instead of figuring all the cities that you might have to live in, right? Jacob said to me this morning, he says, now I'm like you, I'm a grandpa. Actually, he was a grandpa even before that. So we have two sets of proud grandparents, and we've already given them a hand, but I just want you to realize that that's not going to work, is it? Okay, stay there. That there's challenges, and so pray for Evelyn, and she recovers. And then pray for Eric. Yeah, Eric needs a lot of prayer. You know, I'm saying this because he's listening online, so I'm doing this for his, yeah. Because I think what he's going to end up doing is that while Chloe's trying to sleep, he's going to be looking at her, and he's going to want to sing songs to her. And he's probably going to lose sleep. But that's what a proud father does. Often, maybe, I don't know if you dads did that, but I did. Go in and look at your kids. Pray for them and love them. And so we're rejoicing with Eric and Evelyn this morning. Why don't you get up and slap your family member, but shake your neighbor's hand. How's that? Okay. Oh, I hear some slapping going on there. Come on, get up. Go and shake some hands, okay? Okay, Holden, you come on up here. I'm going to have you sit next to me now. How's that sound? That's all right, Holden. You're a good brother. Well, let's bow again in a word of prayer. We're going to be at 1 Peter for a little bit, and I want to give different men an opportunity to share from the Word as we break bread. I want to remember Todd and Samantha and Reagan and Becca as they're traveling out west, and pray that they'd be able to come back. They're involved in our youth ministry and our trek ministry, and so, you know, pretty key. And, of course, there are a number of families who are away. We got a bunch of young guys that are out camping out there at Moose Lake, Killian and company, and Eric Booksman and such. So, and then, of course, we have Frank and Lorene. You're getting married sometime soon or something, I think, right? Yeah. So they're anticipating life together. So lots to celebrate and consider. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for each one here this morning. Thank you that we can greet each other, get to know one another, that we can read your word so freely, that we can celebrate new birth, new beginnings, as think of Frank and Lorene, going to be getting married here in the next little bit. We also pray for Todd and Samantha and Reagan and Becca as they're traveling out west, bring them back safely, and for different ones who are getting some rest and enjoying the summertime. We pray that as we open your word together and we reflect upon your goodness, the life that was given, the joy that we have in knowing you, to be known by you, to know that we are loved, forgiven, and that your grace is extended to us every single day, every moment of every day. Thank you for the worship team. Thank you that we could sing together and praise you. Bless our time in your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, just for a moment. Just going to come down to verse 8. A little bit earlier in that passage, Jacob made reference to Peter's words, how that we are being saved in such a way that there is a marvelous inheritance that God is storing up for you, one that will not perish or fade. Down in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, and here we are this morning in that light. Though we have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. If you're having a hard time with that this morning, we pray that you'll be drawing near to God as we open the word. Pause and reflect upon his goodness today. Verse 9, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your life. The saving of your life is a present experience, being delivered from the wrath, being delivered, as it were, from the evils of this world in terms of your participation in it, although we're all impacted by it. And yet there's a sense in which we realize that God is so gracious to us. And so this morning we want to meditate upon that. A little later on we'll read some more. There's about three more passages I want to show you in 1 Peter that all point to the cross and the resurrection. Peter was there, but he was ashamed. The shame has been removed, and he wants to express the necessity of the death in the wonder of the resurrection. And that's what we're doing here this morning as we break bread together. We're going back to the upper room, as it were, and we're hearing strange words. We're hearing things that we can't quite grasp in terms of the wonder of who God is and the giving of his Son, for which he wants to give you life, not only after you die, but life today in a very real way so that you can enjoy this journey. Yeah. Open it up now to different ones who may want to share a passage you've been meditating upon this week, and look forward to that. Come on up, guys.
Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll take our reading from verse 5. And Paul here speaking, he says, "For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of your darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our bodies the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to the death of Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe that, and therefore speak, because we know that the one who has raised Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose hope. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving us in an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I was just thinking about communion and how we ought to continue to think about the goodness of God, and how even though we go through the ups and downs of life, and it says here we're struck down, we're persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed, we have this renewed hope that God gives us, and how we are supposed to think about these things and dwell on them and keep perspective and live out our Christian life and be renewed day by day by God, by his word, and how we are also to fix our eyes on him. And let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that we can fix our eyes on you. Thank you, Lord, that that we can have perspective no matter what's going on in our lives and no matter what the ups and downs. I pray, Lord, that we would continue to remember your great gift to us and how often we're fine on parts of the day, and then other times our minds go to despair. And I pray, Lord, that we would continue to bring ourselves back to your love and bring ourselves back to what you have done for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Get you to turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. And Mike alluded to this one of these verses a bit this morning already. So anyway, I'll start reading verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we again just thank you for this privilege of gathering together here, worshiping you, remembering the great cost of you giving your life so that we could be set free, that we could be redeemed from our sins. Thank you also for your word that you've preserved for us, that we can get to know you and also get to know how to live. And I pray too that we will take these things to heart, Lord, and remember that we need to not do things on our own, but we need to realize our need of you at all times, when things are going well and when things are not going well, and to not be anxious about things, but to trust you, leave it up to you, and to concentrate on the promises in your word. Thank you so much for your great love, and just ask you to continue to lead and guide us here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's turn our Bibles again to 1 Peter. First chapter and verses 18 to 21. You know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life, handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe. You believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so that your faith and hope are in God. You know that Peter was likely spending a lot of time thinking about the significance of the death of the Lord Jesus, how that it was God's plan. You'll recall that Peter, when Jesus predicted his death on numerous occasions, Peter made it very clear that it wasn't going to happen. Peter didn't understand the very things that angels were looking into. How could he? It was encrypted in Scripture. It was veiled to the naked eye, so to speak. It was only after the fact could we understand words similar to Paul's, but God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let's turn to another passage here. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 to 25. Thank you for sharing, Les and Corny. And in the midst of suffering, it's a little challenging when it comes to rejoicing. Verse 21, to this you were called, to endure, to suffer, as we read in verse 20. Why is that? Because Christ suffered for you. That's why we pause and we take time and we look at the loaf. Remember a body that was broken. We look at the cup. Picture the blood that was shed. Life was taken so life could be given. Leaving you an example, it says, that you should follow in his steps, that we too should be willing to suffer, give our lives away so that others could have life. So that the life would be given to us should be seen in us and be given to others. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth, and when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on a tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. Put down Romans 6 next to this if you'd like. Romans 6 talks all about that. How that the choice that you have to make comes out of your deep appreciation and your realization of all that Christ has done for you. So by his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray. And that takes you to Isaiah 53, doesn't it? All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Yes, going astray. Why am I here? Because I'm no longer astray. I'm in the fold. I'm looking to the shepherd. I realize he gave his life for me. I'm comforted by that fact. He leads me beside the still waters. Yeah. Walks with me through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You've entrusted yourself to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Come down to chapter 3, 1 Peter 3, verse 18. Again, just remarking how that Peter was focused on the death and the resurrection, the price that was given. Trying to convey that to our children is a challenge, isn't it? To our young people. Likely it's a challenge for us to stop long enough to meditate upon these truths, to reflect upon the love of God for us. For Christ died for sins, the just for the unjust. He did so once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous. To bring you to God, he was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. Beautiful passage. Then over to chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. Interesting. Let this mind be in you, right? Philippians 2:5, which was also in Christ Jesus. Or as the writer to the Hebrews says, who for the joy set before him. Because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. To allow yourself to be persecuted. Renee and I were reading about a mother who was grieving the loss of her son in the Philippines. He was slain for his faith. And how through his death and at the service for his funeral, the room was packed with Muslims. He reached more Muslims through his death than through his life. Mother had resigned herself to the fact that God is more than able to deal with the injustice. But at the same time, guess what? As we learned from Steve Saint, that the Waodani people who killed his father were also the very ones who were led to Christ. We are here to recognize how magnificent, how wonderful, how absolutely amazing the grace and the love of God is for us. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. So we're here this morning by the will of God to worship him, to give him praise, glory, and honor, to remember that we have family, we have coworkers, we have friends who don't yet understand, but we have opportunity to suffer, to live, to do good, to praise God every day, to rest in his goodness. May the Lord grant you needed wisdom in the turbulent times in which we live. We also read a little later on, the Lord is near. He's coming back. Could be today. Oh, happy day. But it's still, oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away, for which I give him praise, glory, and honor. I'll ask the men who are going to come up and help pass the emblems around if you'd come forward at this time. Ask one of you men to come up and give thanks for the loaf.
Lord, we thank you today for this time that we can reflect upon your sacrifice, Lord. And as we think of your body that was broken for us, and it reminds us of the consequences of our sin and the suffering that causes, Lord. And we think about how you took that upon yourself, and we're thankful for your love for us and your willingness to do that. Lord, we just pray that you would help us to turn our hearts to you, Lord. Remind us daily to confess and to love others and to love you. I just pray these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you.
It's not the bread that we break, our participation in the body of Christ, because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
We come before you again, O Lord, just thanking you for the greatest gift ever. Thank you for giving us eternal life, allowing your body to be broken, your blood to be shed, so that we could be set free. Help us to truly appreciate it. Help us to remember as we partake of the juice, which signifies your blood. Help us to remember every day as we walk with you of the great cost and what you've done for us and what you do for us daily. We just thank you in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Rita. Appreciate that. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? Yeah. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, God's desire to save sinful man, his creation, the apex of creation. You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's stand together and we'll close in a word of prayer. Father, again, we want to praise you. We want to thank you. Thank you for your love to us. We thank you, Father, for the gift of grace found in the person of your Son who willingly gave his life. But death has no hold on him. Resurrected, first fruit, to remind us that we too, at any moment, will be taken into your presence, but not before those who and Jesus have preceded us, will also be resurrected at the last trump. Thank you, Lord. We rejoice again this morning, Father, with Eric and Evelyn. Rejoice with their parents, grandparents. Father, we pray for those who couldn't be with us this morning, those who are watching online. Thank you for the family that we have. Thank you that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. Help us to live for you in this coming week. Help us to seize every opportunity, every moment, to glorify you. Thank you for our time here this morning around your table. In Jesus' name, amen. Greet each other with a holy handshake. Lord bless you.